All right, let's take our Bibles, if you will, and turn with me to the book of Exodus and chapter number 2. Exodus chapter number 2. And we'll begin in verse number 1. We're preaching on Bible births. And of course, using those great texts that deal with those prominent births, and using that thought that Paul gives us in an analogy, and the importance of those births to our lives and how they associate with us. Thinking about Isaac being born to Abraham. And Isaac was God's plan for Abraham's life. And by way of application, we've asked the question, do you have a baby Isaac in your life? Have you allowed God to birth His plan, His design, His desire in your life? What a difference it makes. Because when Isaac comes, there's laughter, there's joy, there's a promise in this Isaac. And then we notice that Samuel was born to Hannah. And Samuel, of course, was God's purpose for that hour, for Hannah, for Israel, for the anointing of David. How sad it is to live in a generation and look into the eyes of even young people that have no purpose whatsoever. They don't even know why they're here. But I'm glad that in Christ we can have a purpose. I just wonder, do you have your Samuel? Do you have the purpose of God in your life as to what He has designed for you, what He's called you to do? The Samuel. And then last night we talked about Obed. What a difference Obed made in the book of Ruth. I just wouldn't want a book of Ruth without an Obed, would you? I wouldn't want a book of Ruth if it just ended with all of that heartache and all of that tragedy. But Obed made the difference. Worship is what Obed means. When worship was born, boy, I'm going to tell you, it just turned everything around. Worship became the passion in this book. And I wonder if you've ever had an Obed. You ever had an Obed experience? Looking into the eyes of that baby worship that took your heart to where worship always takes you, to Jesus. Yes. And you got beyond the sermon, you got beyond the song, and somehow the sun showed up. And when you left, you knew that you had touched heaven, and heaven had touched you. But tonight we want to go a step further, and we want to look at this birth of this baby by the name of Moses. By the name of Moses. And we're going to emphasize with Moses, as we'll notice in these texts, that Moses was God's prophet. Moses was God's proclaimer. In other words, we'll notice how that Moses was God's word. God spoke His word through His prophet Moses to the children of Israel so that they might be delivered from the bondage and enslavement of Egypt. I'm emphasizing the birth of a word. The birth of a word that may make all the difference in your life as to whether you live a life that is bound by some vice, some sin, some enslavement as far as this world is concerned, or whether God will birth a word in you and that word will deliver you and bring you out and break those chains and let you live in the freedom of the promised land. All because God birthed in you a word. He birthed in you His Word, the Word of God. And of course, as all these births do, they all lead to Jesus, because I'm telling you, He is God's Word. Made flesh and dwelt among us. He is the Word of all words. And the truth of it is, every prophet of the Old Testament really had one word, and that was Jesus. They always ended up pointing toward the Son of God. How true and how blessed that truth is, that they had this word. The Bible said in 1 Peter, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was on in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. 2 Peter chapter 1, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. But I want us to notice now, let's read concerning this prophet, this Word of God that's being birthed in this very harsh time in Israel, or as to Israel in Egypt. In verse number 1, the Bible said, there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrew children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, because I drew him out of the water. Now, I'm emphasizing this truth of Moses being God's word for Israel that delivered them. Thank God for the day that that prophet was born. And God used him, he said, to be the mouthpiece, to speak unto the children of Israel, to lead them out of Egypt and lead them in the wilderness and ultimately turn them over to Joshua that they might enter in to the promised land. And can I suggest to you that, again, it is the Word of God that will be our deliverance as far as this world is concerned. And it is that Word that will lift us out, and that Word that will continually deliver us from what all this world might lay or lie before us. The verse that we've been using much this week. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. How? By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. James 1, verse 18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Right. I'm just asking you, has God's word ever been birthed in you? And of course, it was that word that birthed you as far as salvation is concerned. There was a baby experience when the seed of the Word of God came in you. And that seed, of course, ignited and became a living thing inside of you. The Word of God producing the life of Christ, as your pastor always emphasizes, within you. Now, that was a birthing experience. But I want you to know that that's just the initial birth. That book is filled with seeds of God's Word for your life and for my life. And that's why we are to look into this Word. That's why we are to meditate on this Word. That's why we are to memorize this Word, is because we're going to move into circumstances in this old world that the only thing that's going to deliver us is the birthing of a word in our hearts. And how blessed it is. I remember one preacher telling me about how the Lord had called him into an adverse situation that nobody would have even encouraged him to go and even discouraged him from going. But he said, Brother Dana, God gave me two verses that he ignited in my soul. And he said, I went there and I forget stayed about 17 years. And God used him there in that situation simply because he ignited the birth of a word within him. And can I say to you, God's word, his word will be enough for whatever you may face in the adversities and the needs and whatever there may be in this world. But honey, you're going to have more than just a black on white text or a family Bible laying on your counter or on an end table somewhere. You're going to have the birth of a word within you that becomes a part of you. And you know that it's alive. The word of God which liveth. The Word of God which liveth. It's not just some dead law. It's not just some black on white. It's not just some little regulation. But that Word, like a baby brought to life, lives within God's children. Living Word. Moses is born. He is the prophet. He is brought to birth. Now, there are simply four things that I want to say about this matter of a word being birthed into your life and into my life. First of all, I would suggest to you that Moses is that baby, that little baby, born to that Levi father and mother. That little baby that God had determined would be his prophet and his word for Israel, that they would not be able to survive without that word. The first of all, what I want to suggest to you is that this baby or this prophet, this word from God, was a word in time. A prophet in time. Now, my thought comes from the text that I read to you, but we also could go to Acts chapter number 7. I want to read that to you, verse 20 through 25. Said, in which time? What was the time? Well, it's found in Exodus chapter 1 and chapter 2, a time in which Pharaoh charged in verse 22 of chapter 1, charged all of his people, saying, every son that is born, you shall cast into the river. He said, we're going to have to get rid of these men children. And so there was this process of which he was orchestrating a death to all the sons of the Israelites. And it's in this time, and this time Moses was born, was exceeding fair, nourished up in his father's house 3 months. When he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in word and deed, and so on. But the thing that I want you to know is that this word came in a real circumstance, a real situation, a real world, and a real time. Sometimes we read the Bible and it's almost like it's just a fable or it's just a story. But it's a time in Israel in which they are in bondage, a time which a Pharaoh has come to the throne that knew not Joseph, a time when Israel is being made to build these pyramids and produce these bricks, taking away from them any time of worship, any time with their God. And of course, getting worse and worse as Pharaoh comes to the conclusion that Israel's getting bigger than they are, and that maybe one day they would raise up somebody that would overthrow the Egyptians. And so he begins to again have them slaughtered. And it just happens to be in this time, as you read chapter number 2, it's almost like just a everyday situation in which the scripture tells us that the man of the house of Levi took to wife a daughter of Levi. And then the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw he was a goodly child, she hid him, the scripture said, for 3 months. It is here that I see that God's providence, as far as his word, is working just in time. As he had said to Abraham in his promise to him in chapter 17, said, I'm going to take your seed into a foreign land, and I'm going to leave them there some 400 years until I take care of the sins of the Amorites, and then I will go and I will bring them out. And of course, Moses, God's word for Israel, had to be on the scene if they were going to be led out. And so just in time, God sent a saving, delivering word for the hearts of the children of Israel. On time, God's word worked in providence. Aren't you glad for a providential word of God?
Amen.
Birthed in your heart just in time. Not by accident, but God's word so living. And God using circumstances and situations, bringing you to the place to where you're going to need a word. Yea, you're going to want a word. You're going to long for a word because you know that you need some measure of deliverance. And only God can do so. And Israel is in this woeful condition. And just in time in the providence of God, it just so happens that these two come together. And it just so happens that they have a son. And it just so happens that they are not willing, they do not fear the king's commandment, they're not going to give this son up. And it is a providential setting of God, though it looks so imposing. It is a providential set of God in circumstances and everything else for the right time to bring a word that would be received and a word that would deliver. See, that's why God has to set you up before he sends his word.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to want no Moses in your house. You ever run onto somebody that just said, I don't want no children? Well, if you don't want no children, it's the best thing not to have no children.
Right.
And I don't like babies crying through the house, and I don't like smelly diapers, and I don't want to have to get up 2 and 4 and 6 and take care of them. Just don't want no children. Well, don't have any, is my advice. But here's the circumstance, and I've seen this happen. To where young ladies would say, well, I just don't want no children. And I had a niece like that. Still have a niece like that, but she's got children. But she said she's married, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years. And she was satisfied with her sister's children and her brother's children. And she said, well, why do I want any children when I can just go and, you know, enjoy my nieces and nephews? Well, that worked for a while. But then that desire began to creep into her. And no doubt she began to wake up and began to ponder and think. And all of a sudden, she had this craving to have a new life of her own. And then that wasn't enough. She had to have another new life of her own. And she had these birthings of these children that through providence she was brought to the place to where she desired them. Now, there's a whole lot of God's word everywhere, but there ain't a lot of folks to the point to where they want that word.
Yeah.
And that word will work because they haven't sensed their bondage. They haven't sensed that this world is not their home like Egypt wasn't the home of the children of Israel. They hadn't got sick of their condition. But thank God Israel needed somebody and someone to deliver them. They needed a word. And God in time sent a word that they would hear and listen to that would deliver them.
Amen.
Isn't it amazing when God gets that old sinner just where he needs to be? He'll send him that word. But Lord, he'll be rock bottom. He'll be so out of sorts. He'll be looking for an answer. And here comes the gospel. And here comes Jesus. And they say, oh boy, that was just in time. The providence of that word. Not only in salvation, but honey, God will allow you to get in some harsh situations, some Egyptian situations, some foreign situations. But all he's trying to do is develop in you a providential time to where he can bring the word he's already got prepared, and it won't be just another Sunday morning sermon. You'll come in saying, oh God, would you let Moses be born today? I need to take him home to get me out of this bondage. Boy, you come to the house of God, and you wasn't looking for a sermonette. You was looking for a birth, and all of a sudden you heard old Moses cry. God said, here, take him home with you. And old Moses, God's word, went to the house with you. That living word that would deliver you. Boy, I like that, don't you?
Yes,
I do. He was just in time. This providential birth of this prophet that was born to deliver. You know, providence, God's providence has always marveled me. You can see it all through the Bible, but if you'll look back over your life, you can see how it just... I mean, just in time. One of the bigger illustrations that I have of that, I may have mentioned it here years ago, but I hadn't been saved but just maybe a year. And the preacher said to me, we got to going on the street and preaching, he said, I want you to go back to Huntington, West Virginia with me. We'll go down there on Saturday, and said, we'll go down there and preach on the street. And I said, well, that sounds good to me. And he said, we'll hand out tracts. And so we went down there, and we started passing out tracts. I'll never forget it. Young Christian, I'll never forget it as long as I live. And I was passing out tracts, and he went down around the corner. I couldn't see him, and he was passing out tracts there. And while I was passing out those tracks, there was a gentleman that passed me up in, at that time, a three-piece suit, well-dressed. He passed me up, and then he spun around. That's how come I caught, recognized him. And he came right back to where I was at, and he got as close to me as he could get. He almost touched me, and he reached out, and I thought, well, praise the Lord. Here's somebody that wants the gospel. I'll never forget, I handed him a track. He lifted that track up to my face like that, Brother Lester, and he began to tear it up as pieces the size of my thumb right in front of my face. My heart just sank. And I mean, he tediously, patiently took his time and he'd drop each piece around my feet. And I lie you not, I have never forgotten this. He had the last piece, which was no bigger than my thumb and all the rest of them, laying around my feet in his hand, fixing to drop it. Just before he dropped it, another well-dressed man came up and got in as close as him. I mean, we was a trio touching one another. He reached inside of his inside coat pocket, opened up what looked to be a billfold, and it had a badge right there. All of us standing together, he slid it under his nose and said, "Pick it up, every piece." Now, if I was as spiritual then as I am now, I might have helped him. But I stood back and I wondered through the years what kind of impact that had on that man. Because he had to know, like me, that it wasn't by accident that that happened. He had the last piece fixing or dropping and he said, "Pick it up, every piece." I stood back and that old fellow with that three-piece suit got down there while that other man with that badge watched him pick it up. And when I got to hearing Providence preached on, I said, "Boy, I know what that is." I didn't know what it was then. I just knew that God showed up pretty quick. But that was Providence. And aren't you glad that the Lord showed up with a Moses in time and on time? And God showed up with a word called Christ in time and on time for your life. And He's still got a living word for you. A word, a baby born in time. But then I wanted to move over to Hebrews chapter number 11 because it gives us a little detailed thing about Moses' birth. Hebrews chapter number 11 said, "By faith Moses, when he was born." By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. See, anywhere you find the word of God, you're going to find faith. And anywhere you find faith, you're going to find the word of God if it's alive and if it's working. And while you couldn't see from the outside as to what the reasoning was of Exodus chapter number 2 of taking that old boy, somebody said, "How in the world could she take that old boy and put him in that 3 months old in that little basket and put him down there? How in the world could she do that?" By faith. Amen. By faith. The Word of God always working hand in hand in our hearts by faith. When a baby's born, when the Word of God is ignited in your heart and life for some reason, it'll always be connected with a faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. He was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Faith always being connected. Hebrews 4:2 said, "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." The reason why the Word of God's not doing some folks any good, even though they're sitting in the same place where you sit, is because there's no faith mixed with it. They really don't believe it. But the truth of the matter is, I noticed that there was faith in the conception of this Word, and there was faith in the conduct and character of this Word. In other words, faith is what ignited this Word. Because Moses became God's prophet because somebody believed God for Moses.
Right.
That's the way it operates. I'm going to tell you something. Sinners don't just stagger into the kingdom. Somebody's exercising faith for you. God, oh, I know He could have chose angels to do this and all that other stuff, but I'm going to tell you, He don't just create babies out of the air. It takes humanity to create babies. And He don't just create children of God out of little old religious organizations and activities. It takes somebody of faith. It begins with faith in somebody else's heart.
Amen.
Aren't you glad that God lets you be a part of this incubation and birthing process? Huh? Aren't you glad of that? That God will let you have that faith to believe Him, to pray for sinners to be saved and pray for hearts to be touched and for them to come to Christ and to trust Him. And thank God when they do, you just feel like that you just had a part in it because you believe God. By faith He was put in there. It was faith that was operating in mom and daddy's heart. Said, "I know God's going to take care of my baby." And this is where I can see that husband coming home. And Jochebed, was that her name? Something like that. And said, "Honey, what you doing?" She said, "Well, I heard them talking out there. Them soldiers hanging around out there a little long. And I don't know, I feel like they're fixing to break in on us." He said, "Well, I can't argue with you on that." But said, "What's that basket all about?" "Oh," she said, "I got along with the Lord this evening. He said to put a basket together and put him in the basket." He said, "What good's that going to do? We can't hide the basket here." She said, "No, I'm going to take him down to Nile River and put him in the Nile River." He said, "Nile River, don't you know there's gators in there? Snakes and moccasins and everything like that?" She said, "Yeah, I know it's down there, but I also know what God told me to do. And I know this is a proper child, and I know God's got His hand on him, and I know He'll have a word for us, and I'm going to do what God told me to do." And by faith, she released that old boy to whatever he was going to face in this old world. Let that word, by faith, just sail down the river. Can you imagine? I'm sure she's wiping the tears. She's watching him as he floats out of sight. Looks over and sees a gator laying up on the bank. Maybe two or three. She said, "God, You gave me a word and told me to do that. And I've done what You said. Now I want You to make a word out of him." Down through there he went. By faith. By faith. But you know what came out of her faith? It just works in a cycle. It's never ending. A word came out of her faith. A prophet came out of her faith. And his faith. And that word came out of there. And do you notice? Not only did they believe God, but the next thing the Scripture tells us is that by faith, Moses. She believed God's word by faith. The word came along, the prophet, and he believed God by faith, and it just kept on going. A word and faith, a word and faith. And so they're so intertwined that you can't separate them. One won't make it without the other. A word and faith. And Moses little old baby is a word not only in time, but he's a word in trust. Faith is connected to it. Faith is connected to it. And I'm here to tell you, God has a special word for you, but you're going to have to believe him for that word. And if you'll believe him for that word will operate in your life, and that word will work in your life, and that word will deliver you. The word of salvation will only deliver a sinner when he believes that word. And the word of faith will only deliver the saint when they believe that word. And mom and daddy believed that word, and then when Moses come along, isn't it amazing that the same faith that mom and daddy had was birthed in his heart? And don't ask me to explain how that happened. I don't know, except all I can figure out is she took care of him there for a while and put him on her lap and began to sing, "Living by Faith." How's that song start? I care not today. Look at Moses. What tomorrow may bring, shadow or sunshine or rain, the Lord I know ruleth over everything. All of my worry is vain. Living by faith in Jesus above. He said, well, he didn't know about Jesus. What Scripture said he did, didn't he? Huh? Trusting, confide. Honey, Moses, they're going to come and deliver. The Lord's going to use you, but one of these days there'll be a big deliverer come. And Moses talked about that deliverer. He said, there's going to come a prophet among you. He said, he's going to have a word. So where did Moses get all that? Living by faith in Jesus above. Trusting, confiding in his great love. From all harm safe, sheltering arms, I'm living by faith, and I feel no alarm. You say, well, don't you think she's afraid? No, no, no. She's working for the king's daughter now. She's getting paid. Isn't it amazing how that word will work? Turn things around. You get paid for what the king's trying to kill. Isaiah, second verse of that, what is it? The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything. My worry is vain. Living by faith in Jesus above. What do? You've got to have one of these around the house or you're going to be in a mess. Yeah. Trusting, confide. Go in there and get him out of the bed every now and then. In his great love, from all harm safe, in his sheltering arms, I'm living by faith. Oh, Moses, and I feel no alarm.
Hallelujah.
I know that the Lord will some sweet day, my troubles will then all be o'er.
My Lord, I know ruleth o'er everything.
Well, we don't need to worry, do we? His vein. But you got to have one of them. But it has to be birthed. And it has to be birthed by faith. And no matter what the doctor says, no matter what happens down on the job, no matter how things get desperate, you take your little Moses and release him to God. Boy, what a blessing that is, ain't it? Huh? In trust, in time. But then can I say to you thirdly, as we notice in these texts, that Moses is that prophet, that word that is born and ignited and brought in this baby, this deliverance, not only in time and in trust, but in a test. In a test. Well, you ever got to noticing everything that seemed to be working against this baby making it? Think about it. First of all, Pharaoh's charge that all the male children, chapter 1, verse 22, would be slain. Second of all, she's got to hide him. And I imagine that's difficult for 3 months. Thirdly, he's going to have to be released, as I've said, to the Nile River and all that may harm him that's in that river. What are the chances he's going to come out of there alive? I mean, if you didn't know anything about God, and you didn't know anything about the Bible, you didn't know anything about the ending, and let's just say you had a neighbor that said, you know what, I'm going to take my baby and put it in a little old basket, a bread basket, I'm going to take it out here and put it on the, what river you got? St. John River. See how it works out. Now, I know you felt like doing one or two like that, but it wouldn't recommend it. And nobody else would recommend it. But she did so, and lo and behold, guess who's taking a bath? The king's daughter. Well, he's in bad shape, I guarantee you that, because when she finds out, she's going to tell her daddy, and her daddy, and she knows that's a Hebrew child. She said it is. And she's going to tell her daddy, and you know what her daddy wants to do with Hebrew babies. But isn't it amazing in all of that mix and mingle that somehow Moses is raised and developed by the hands of the enemy? Faith and the Word of God is being propagated by the enemy and they don't know it. The test of the Word of God. The Bible said it liveth and abideth how long? Forever. I don't care what Pharaoh throws against it. I don't care what's in the Nile River. I don't care what's going on in this hour. I want you to know that that word that God gives you will be a word that will live. Amen. There ain't no prison cell. There ain't no place or no circumstance that can kill that word. It's going to live. As a matter of fact, the worst thing this world can do is attack the Word. Because all it's doing is fanning the fire. Yeah. And that Word begins to spread. Just leave Moses alone. If you mess with him, we're going to be in trouble. And in all of the pressures and of all the tests and all that Moses goes through, he comes out on the inside. I mean, you think about it now. Moses has been adopted by Pharaoh's daughter and Pharaoh. And the scripture said they took Moses. Now then Moses is God's prophet. He's got God's word in him by faith. And takes him out there and for 40 long years brainwashes him and teaches him, trains him in religion and in everything else. You imagine that? Fed Egyptian theology and philosophy and way of life for 40 long years. I'm not just saying this tonight, but you can take it for what it's worth. But I think we're a whole lot more afraid of the public school than we ought to be. Because I'm going to tell you something. God intends on sending some of His children through there with a word of faith that them other children need to see. And if they don't see it through us, they're not going to see it. Now, don't misunderstand me. I don't believe that's for everybody. I'm not going to make a blanket statement, but you can't tell me that God don't ever raise up somebody to send right down into the lion's den and the fiery furnaces and the Egypts of this world and let them do all the messing they want to because God proves that His Word's going to stand the test of time. And they come out on the other side. And Moses, I mean, he barely gets graduated, 40 years old. And he said he had it in his heart to go see his people. Yeah. He's had all that training. Can you imagine him in school and they're up there? Now, Moses, right here, this is the God of the sun, and this is the God of the Nile. This is the God of the flies. And he's sitting back there. Living by faith in Jesus above. I don't know. They've tried their best to make an Egyptian out of me, and I went through all the training, the schooling. I didn't get word they want me to be king. Oh, I wish I could go see my people. I need to tell them something. I got something in my heart. I was sitting in class the other day, and God said, you're going to be my deliverer. And I didn't. They said, well, where'd you get training? I said, well, I lived with Mama back there a few years. I remember singing Living by Faith, and I ain't got over it. They couldn't brainwash that word. They couldn't alligatorize that word. They couldn't drown that word. They couldn't even offer him all the pleasures of Egypt. It just wouldn't harness the word of God. You say, preacher, what's going to keep me from joining up with this world? What is it's going to keep me from succumbing to this world? The births of the word of God in your heart will be your sword of defense. It'll keep you. And you don't have to be as much afraid of this world as what I think God's people are. Now, I had me a little thought, and I shared it with Brother Lester. I had no intention of sharing it here. But since ain't nobody here but us, I want to. I've been amazed as I study the Word of God of late of how much the Lord will allow the devil to do for him and won't even pay him. Have you ever noticed that? You see, the children of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of the king. We can't match up with them. But God, so that he can give the glory, he'll let this old world go to work on something that they've got a different intent with it. They got an evil intent. And just at the time they've got it shined up and finished up, he'll come along and say, give me that. And then he'll take it and use it for his glory. Won't he? What do you think the intent was for Moses? Raise him up, let him be the next king in Egypt, and then we'll wipe out the rest of these Israelites, and boy, we'll just lead on. I mean, every lesson, everything he was taught him to turn him against God's people. And they got him real good and educated and trained. And God said, now you got him where I want him. I'm going to take him. Huh? Isn't that amazing how the devil will work on an old sinner and you'll think he's got him to where, man, there's no hope. And then when he's got him to the right point, God will come by and say, now, let me have him. I think I can use him. I want him. What about those gallows that were built by Haman? Ain't nobody ever built a better set of gallows than what he did. You can't build them no better than that. But if the poor old fella realized what this is going to be used for, he would build a shabby set. But just about the time he got them built, God said, I think I can use that. Let me have that. And he used it for his glory. Didn't he? Huh? Right. He did. Let me have that. And I'll tell you where this thought hit me. As old David went to get a sword one day, and but by the way, do you know where all the metal for the gold and silver for the tabernacle in the wilderness, you know where that come from? Yeah. Nobody could work with gold, and even to this day, if you've been to Egypt, I'm telling you, their paintings and everything is majestic even to this hour that was painted 4,000 years ago. And they tell us they could work with gold like and metals like nobody. And they got all that gold, got it all signed up, and God said, when you come out, tell them to give you that. I'm going to use that. Ain't that something? The devil went out there. Well, don't you know he worked overtime to get that Well, let me go back to David. Old David went up there and he told the priest, he said, "You got a sword or a spear?" He said, "Well, the only thing we got around here is Goliath's sword that you took from him." He said, it's wrapped up back here by the ephod. And David said this word. It jumped out at me. It leaped out at me. Matter of fact, I preached a whole sermon on it. He said, "There's none like it. Give it to me." Now, you know David had seen some pretty fancy swords because Saul let him have his, hoping he'd use it to fight Goliath with, and he turned it down. Now, I'm going to tell you, Saul's king in Israel, I don't think he had a low-class sword. And then Saul's son, Jonathan, came and submitted to David all of his armor and even his sword. And David is a man of war, and he's been fighting under Saul for some time. And you know how men get together if they got guns? They want to show each other a gun. You seen this gun? You seen this gun? And you know all them men got together, and the sword was the main thing that day. Say, you like that sword? I had that made down there. You like that one right there? Oh, I like yours. That's a good sword right there. But David said, I'll take it, because there's none like it. And that suggests to me again that when the devil does something, he does it with an evil intent. But I'm going to tell you, he does it to the best of his. You won't see anything like it. When he orchestrates something to use against you, it'll be at his best. But here's the thing about it. Can you hear old Goliath? I mean, that sword is made the right length and with the right balance and the right grip for his hand. And I'm going to tell you, it's sharpened and it's been tempered to perfection. This is their mighty man. He's got the sword. And you see him out there the night before he's going to fight David? You can hear him sharpening that sword. He lays that thing down, and the Holy Ghost said, "Pick it up. It ain't sharp enough. Sharpen some more." Said, "I got a boy that's got to use that tomorrow. Now, he ain't but 16, and I don't want him to have to overwork himself." And he gets that sword just right. And when he gets it just right, the Lord said, "Let me have that." Went down in that valley, David did. The Bible said he pulled that sword. Now, I'm wondering, if old Goliath had known what that sword is going to be used for, if he'd have spent so much time sharpening it and using it. But you see, the devil is not able to perceive those things. He doesn't realize that all he's doing. Pharaoh didn't realize, and what he was doing to the children of Israel is that he was just getting them ready to where they could cry, where God could send them a voice and get them out of there. Don't you worry about Obama and Washington and all that other stuff and Dow Jones and the rest of it. This old world, God's using it to build a bridge to get his young ones to where they'll be sick of this world and get us out of here. If old Goliath had known what that sword was going to be used for the next night, I think he'd have said, "I don't think I'll take my sword. I don't need it." They took that tree with evil intent and cut it down, hewed it out, two pieces to make a cross. And the Lord said, "Let me have that. I think I can save a whole world with that." I think I can save a whole world with two pieces of wood. I'm glad the Lord knows how to bring a Moses out of some of these situations. Now, honey, don't get in despair when you look around and see what's going on in the lives of others. Just realize that the God of heaven is able in time and in trust, if you believe him, to come to the place that he can take that which the world seems to have had the upper hand on. He can use that. As a matter of fact, I make this statement. I don't think there's ever been a child of God but what God hadn't allowed the devil to do a little bit of something in his life that God could use for his glory. Think about it. Think about an old fella out there on drugs and alcohol. And the devil's just wallowing him in all of that. And then the Lord will come along, surprise everybody, and save him. And he'll use the devil's sword the rest of his life. In every sermon he preaches, he'll talk about how God delivered him from alcohol and God delivered him. And all across, everybody will hear about how God saved him and he's using the devil's sword against him. And I can see the devil saying, man, if I'd have known he was going to go around talking about it, I'd have never done it. I wouldn't change it. You know how I was raised. I've told you I wouldn't change anything about how I was raised, because I'm going to tell you, it's a sword that God has given me that the devil developed to use for his honor and glory. Huh? Joseph said, you meant it for evil. God meant it for good. Don't worry about Moses. If he's a word from God, he'll live on. And if you let the word live in you, let that baby be born by faith. You'll be amazed at what can come out of that. My dad was an alcoholic, and back when I was about 35 years old, I decided I was going to try to find out where my mother was. She left when I was a year and a half old. I don't know. But I tried, and I heard that she'd had a friend back there in West Virginia, and I thought, well, that I'd go back there and talk to her. Well, when I got there, I found out she had passed away, but her husband's still living. He was in his 80s. And I said to him, sir, I'll come by to talk to you about mama. And he said, well, I knew your mama well, knew your daddy. And said, your mom and my wife were real good friends. But he said, I don't know, I can't tell you anything about your mama after she disappeared. But he said, I will tell you this. He said, one day, said, your mama had a baby, and my wife had heard about it, and she said to me, she said, I want to go out on Bunker Hill, and I want to see Cat, that's what they called her, and see that new baby. And he said, I took her over there, and she got out to go into the house, and said, I looked over there, and your daddy was laying some block. And said, I'd already heard what he'd done. He'd traded a farm off for that piece of land, and he was building a beer joint over there. So he said, I pulled over there, and they called him Foxy. He said, Foxy, what are you doing? He said, this is my dad. He said, my dad said, I'm building a church. He said, yeah, I bet you are. He said, he cussed real big, and he said, that's what I told you, wasn't it? I'm building a church. Well, he went ahead and did build that beer joint. He only had it a couple of years, and he shot a man in there and killed him. He had to sell everything he had, including the beer joint, to pay the lawyers to keep him out of prison. But I said all that to say this, who do you think bought that beer joint? Huh? A church bought that beer joint. That's been almost 60 years ago, and you can go there, it's a church to this day. And I went up there to preach my brother's funeral, and there's a boy that I was raised with come to the funeral, Brother Mike. And I got to talking to him and found out that he had gotten saved and trusted the Lord. And boy, we had some good fellowship there. And I said, Mike, give me your number, and when I get home, I'll call you on the phone when we can have plenty of time to talk. I'm excited to find out somebody else raised around where I was had gotten saved. I was thrilled. So I got back home and I called him and I said, Brother Mike, tell me about your salvation experience, how you met the Lord. Oh, he said, Brother Dana, he said, you know out there in Bunker Hill where that church is? I said, I sure do. He said, there's having a two-week revival when I was 16 years old. And he said, somebody invited me to go to the early part of those meetings, and he said, I got born again. And honey, God had flooded his soul for all of those years, and I didn't even know it, that he was saved in a church that my daddy built. Hallelujah. But he didn't mean to build it. He built it for evil, and God meant it for good. God brought a word out of there. And I'll guarantee you there had been some saints across that hill that had wanted to start a gospel church. And there's a praying saying, Lord, would you give us a building? Would you give us a place where old sinners can be saved? And God said, hold on a day or two. I got a place being built for you. I'll have it ready. Woo! And who knows how many sinners were taken to heaven out of a place that was built to be a bridge on. Moses wasn't born, as far as this world was concerned, to be a word for God. Egypt have already determined what he is going to be, but God had something else in mind. Things ain't just like you see it. God may have something else in mind. But if he has something else in mind, it'll always come through the prophet or through the word.
Amen.
That little baby. Come here, Moses. Ain't that song in your song, huh? I'm going to get that verse right.
Living by faith.
Living by faith, Moses. Honey, I might have to put you down there in that Nile River, but I'm doing it by faith. When you get out of there, you live by faith. Had a little old word from God. Come about by faith. Hey, you ain't got one of them, have you? Are you still worrying about Washington? They got you upset down there on Wall Street? Afraid you won't get your stimulus? Why don't you ask God to give you one of these? A word. Maybe it'll be, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. This old boy right here is going to a bad place. Boy, wouldn't it be wonderful if he could take that word that said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but I'll be with you all the way to the end. Yeah. And mom and daddy needs that word too, don't they? The wife, she needs to have that word in there. She can throw up on her own.
I care not today what tomorrow may bring. Shadows of sunshine and rain. And I know that he everything. All of my worries in vain. And I said, how in the world could it? Oh, I got me a word. Last night, I had a baby born about 2 in the morning.
Am I sounding crazy to y'all? Aren't you glad when God just gave you a baby? God's word, living by faith.
I can't believe that's one song y'all don't have. Y'all get that by next time I come, because that there is one of the best songs in creation. Oh, yeah. It's full of the word. Can I ask you, has that baby Jesus ever been born in you? How's it go unto us? Son is given. Child is born. And he said his name shall be called. And the New Testament said his name will be. You ain't got one of them, have you? That'll save you. You ain't got you an Abraham, have you? Got God's plan operating in your life? And would you happen to have you a Samuel? So, boy, I know what the Lord wants from me. I'm going to serve him. How about an Obed? Worship. How about a Moses? A word, living by faith. And I'm going to tell you something. If I don't get you through, I got nothing else to offer. I don't know anything else that'll do. But oh, when them babies get to kicking on the
inside. Conviction sets in. Holy Ghost salvation takes place. You know what that's about, don't you, Brother Ken? You know what that's about, don't you? I told him, Brother Lester said, you got a baby for tonight. I said, just take Brother Kenny and set him on the altar. That's all we'll need. You know, we had a baby over there back here, a grandson, Pam's grandson sitting back there, and everybody out there was going, goo, 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 goo. You could just hear him. That's Brother Kenny. He's just like a new baby. God birthed in here. God's in the birthing business, and everything he does is through a birth. He wants to do some birthing.